This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, you're listening to Live and Learn with me, Dashrin Johan. Pertubuhan Pembangunan Harapan Selangor, or HOPE as they are more commonly referred to, was founded in 2005 with a mission to help improve the lives of underprivileged communities. So on today's show, I'm going to be catching up with the co-founder of HOPE, Prema Arasan, who I spoke to last year. And we're going to be talking about some of the COVID-19 struggles and obstacles faced by communities living in estates, other marginalized communities as well, and talk about some of the work HOPE has been doing to help them. Welcome to the show, Prema. How are you doing?
Hi, thank you. Thank you so much. I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Before we get into the meat of the conversation, remind us again, Prema, what your organization is all about.
So it's a registered charity working to alleviate poverty and social exclusion in Selangor region. But though we have actually expanded to other regions, other states, and in HOPE, actually, we prioritize the needs of women, children, and youth as they are seen to be the most vulnerable demographic. And on top of that, like, actually, initially, 70% of work used to be on empowerment and 30% on charity. But the strategy changed since the pandemic. So we focus, like, on, helping people, giving them, provide them the needs they need. And on top of that, we also focus on generating awareness and knowledge sharing with diverse communities to encourage sustainable impact in Selangor. So our programs, maybe I can just share about our programs.
Yes.
The activities that HOPE carries out to help out these marginalized communities. We provide free capacity building seminars, for youth on social challenges, crime, sexual and gender-based violence, where we actually have successful stories where we have managed to mentor them and to be a better person, we have cases of like former drug addicts who came forward, and we have actually mentored them, and even those youth who have been involving in gangsterism. So through our mentoring program, we have successfully, they're able to work and being an example for others, actually. So other than that, we also, as I mentioned, we also feed the poor and homeless. We do have give counseling. And things has been this is like our core program, and even we provide a free tuition. So before MCO 3.0, we actually provided the tuitions for those children or students who have actually left out from education, basically when they have no access to internet or they don't have access to get any kind of education, though the school provide, but with a basic phone without internet, they were actually left out. So what we did was we choose those students and we gave them free education. So these are the core programs, as you mentioned, that we have even counseling. So counseling did took place during the MCO because, as you know, people were in need. But there are also a rise in attempts of commit suicide here that we have come across. So we did provided the counseling services for those who are in like debt bondage and they know what to do. We gave some advices on that, and we have a group of para counselors. And if needed, if the person need more than that, then we refer to the experts and professionals to provide counseling.
The last time we spoke, it was more than a year ago. You were working tirelessly, as you always do, to help underprivileged communities. But of course, the added challenge was this time you have to work extra fast and extra furious because the COVID-19 pandemic was ravaging Malaysia and the globe. But at the time last year, many were hoping that we would all get rid of COVID by the end of 2020. Clearly, that did not happen. And now, in fact, this year, when you compare 2021 to 2020, COVID, the situation, the case numbers, the amount of deaths, the amount of people that need help are far worse than 2020. What has changed over the past year for HOPE, and what was different about distributing aid last year compared to this year?
I mean, we wish that it could have just stopped like last year. And all of us thought that, hey, we have done, the best, So I'm sure frontliners worked really hard, but unfortunately, it wasn't that, things that we were expecting. So yes, it's very sad to see the cases, rise up again. For us, though we were on the ground, for last MCO, we were on the ground every day, feeding people and providing the needs, for them. So then after the MCO this year, so we thought, okay, actually the cases was very high. Mm. So we were and people were advising, don't go and risk yourself, because of course, when you come to health or your safety, then sometimes you have to be selfish, right? But nevertheless, that didn't stop her, because when we hear, people start calling, because our number is in the social media, so people start calling us, would you please help us? And we have seen and we have witnessed, people who have been they have, because that time I think people were hiking up a bit in their business or in their income, but then it poop, went down right again. So people were really struggling. So we thought, then we told ourselves, never mind, we will just take the risk and, help people. Since March 2020 last year, actually we have helped about 250,000 of B40 people and a few of M40 people. Yeah, so it's quite a lot of number that we have helped them.
Yeah, that's tremendous.
Yes, throughout Selangor. And basically the people that we were helping, mostly those jobless and not easy to find a job now, yeah, but most of them doing something for a living, which we support them from time to time. And for those collapsed business, for daily wage earners such as flower sellers, stalls, those cleaners, even school bus transporters who have lost the job, because there was no school. And on top of that, these are the target group that we help. I would like to share that. And then single mothers with kids and low income earners, even below minimum wages, and those attacked by or suffered with illness and bedridden. So these are the people that we were actually helping and focusing in that. Of course, we expanded to other region, because originally it was focusing in Selangor, but then there was also a request from other places. So we have our partners and our friends in other regions or states, then we work with them to help people that who are in need. So your question was what was the difference from last year? It's actually the same, but what we did this time was, of course, the basic needs is provided. Despite of them being PPR, low cost flats, even estates, we do help Orang Asli. So, but this time what we did was we have our own database. We have own database. So what we did was we encouraged the B40s to start business from home. For an example, there were donors who come forward and say that, hey, we would like to sponsor food, so cooked food. So what we did was we told them that why not you support the B40. So that was the program that we initiated, B40 to B40. Yeah, B40, TO, B40. So what we did was we gave the opportunity for them. So they cook, of course, they have fulfilled the requirement of, all this typhoid injections and everything. Because some of them, most of them actually used to, cater food, but due to the MCO and everything, they stopped and there were no earning. So we helped them on that. And we also gave, we have helped few of them. If you see in our stories, a couple, a very young couple, 19 and 20 years old, they married. Yeah, they married and had they have one child. And they were actually struggling with rents, and they didn't if even have a stove or even a kettle, you know, in the house. So what we did was the young lady approached me and she was sharing a problem and how she was suffering. So immediately we just provide them with food and thereafter, you know, other things, even to the gas tank, because you can't be like providing food every day. So they have to cook. So what we did, the normal thing, like the gas, cooking gas, and then the stove and all those need, the things that they need to survive. And of course, for the baby that time, I think the baby was just 2 months old. So what we did was we asked them, the husband what he wanted to do. So we even give them the opportunity, because we have work, you know, like for security guard. He wasn't like really like, you know, feel comfortable with that, because it's only the child and the mother, you know, they're still very young. So he wasn't comfortable to leave them alone. So then we actually offer him for any other thing. So he said he want to sell fish. All right. So what we did was we spoke to donors and just provide some, you know, the basic things that he needs, like the fish itself we bought, and they sell the fish and they were surviving and all the equipment. So they were like, later on we follow up with them. So like in 1 day they could have just make like 50 or 100 ringgit sometimes. So it's something. Yeah, we start with small and they were like really, you know, surviving. Other than that, this time we were like really educating the B4T community on the self-care, how they can actually, you know, prevent from getting this this pandemic. And what we did was we provide hygiene kits for each household and also a self-test kit. As you know that when the cases was very high, you know, people were like, how can elderly people go all the way to do the test? So we took that measure and we provide the oximeters for those who need help. Yeah. And on top of that, for the prevention part for children, we provided very nutritious food to build the immune system. Because from our stories, we have seen people like, you know, kids were like, you know, eating very, you know, basic food, like it just rice and salt, you know, things like that, because no food. So we thought of we could help them with that. So good that some of our donors or friends came forward to be part with us.
Prema, so earlier you mentioned something that I think hasn't been covered enough, you know, in media and all of that. And this is the idea of estate communities or communities living in estates. Can you tell me what are the struggles and challenges based on your observation faced by these communities that are living in the estates, especially during the COVID-19 pandemic?
Oh, yeah. So basically, people don't go to the estates, or, you know, I would say that they kind of like isolated far in. And actually it's all started when we do help plantation estates, but like 2 months ago in Pulau Keri, in Pulau Keri estates, most of them were like quarantined and they were not allowed to go out. And you know that, you know, being living in estates, you have to like travel like 10 to 15 kilometers if you want to go to the city, right? So all of them were like, you know, inside, and they were like struggling for food and even there's no proper like do a test or even going to the hospital. So nothing was there. So there was absolutely a struggle from them. And overall, from our experience, you know, helping plantation community or estates community for many, many years, we know that it's a kind of modern day slavery, I would say that, because they are still earning below than minimum wage. Averagely, some of them, after the deduction of a lot of things, you know, I would not be like naming it, listing it down, because actually after a lot of deductions, they sometimes even just get like 500 ringgits. So what can you do with 500 with like five kids?
Yeah, 500 is ridiculously low.
Ridiculous, right? Yes, yeah. So this is what plantation people are, communities are facing now. And on top of that, what they will prioritize, right? I mean, we can take a lot of precautions, you know, supplements and all this kind of things, but for them, that's the least important thing. So it's really like, you know, so when we receive requests where the events were like suffering for food, then at the time that was like, this is 2 months ago, so the cases was very high. So what we did was, you can see in our Facebook, we wore the PPE, full PPE, and with the, you know, the costume, and we went in because all the quarantine house, we were going all quarantine house. So we provided the food and, you know, whatever other things they need, even the self-test kit, for the others in the house, because they can't go out. So these are the struggles they were facing, but even some of them was like sharing with us that they don't even have, access to health. I mean, the facilities, even for them to get the vaccine, they have to travel all the way, like, you know, 10, 15 kilometers out. Imagine the elderly people.
Right.
So, yeah. So things was like that. And during the MCO, I would just like to share that the normally they can earn a bit higher if they have overtime. So unfortunately, when there were no job, and you can imagine the how much they can actually earn. So it was a great struggles for them, and they are far in, yeah. And some of the plantation community also shared that during the what you call MCO, kids were not. They were not able to study because of course, when you go to the estates, you can't get the, you know, phone coverage well. Mm. No, the reception will be very bad. So what more if you want to study online? So, and do they have the facilities, you know, like laptops or tabs? So it's difficult. So these were some of the struggles that faced by our plantation communities and estates. Yeah. Mm.
On the show with me today is Prema Arson. She's the co-founder of HOPE. After the break, I'll be asking her about the importance of empowering the B40 community. We'll be back with more on Live and Learn, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Live and Learn. I'm Dashran Johan, and on the show with me today is Prema Arson. She's the co-founder of HOPE, an NGO aimed at helping marginalized communities. And we're talking about all the work they have done over the past year or so to help out those that are struggling particularly hard because of the COVID-19 pandemic. So, Prema, you have helped 250,000 people. I'm wondering if you've ever, you know, encountered a situation, perhaps a extremely a busy week or a week where there are so many calls and so many requests coming from various people, you know, that they need food, they need help and all of that. Where did you ever encounter a situation where you had to decide which family you can help and which family you can, unfortunately, you know, you can just apologize and say, we can't help you right now. I'm wondering if you faced situations like that.
Yes, I mean, if you ask me, which is a busy week, every day is a busy day for us. Because even people, you know, from Sabah also will be calling us.
Right.
So the thing is that in HOPE's Lango, we never let anyone down. We will never say no. But somehow or other, we will refer them to someone else. Let's say, for instance, if they are like from, as I mentioned, like Sabah. So we will refer to, we have a group of people that we are working. So we refer them to other partners that could help them, you know, and even like we had like you can't cross the state, right? So we really work with other partners to help them. So of course it's a busy, if you ask me, the request is there like almost every day. For instance, I may want to share a story that if you allow me.
Yeah, please.
So like this a person. She's blind. Yeah, she's blind. So she used to have like a bit like 20% of eyesight on her left. But that time she was able to work though. But then during the I think this year, so she was totally blind. She had 4 children. So I don't know how they got my number, and she called and asked for help. She was at Klang that time. So I did, you know, interview her. So what we do normally is we try to get information, as much of information as we can, because knowing that sometimes people do take advantage, that we can't, you know, deny on that. So what we did was, like, you know, we asked the stories and everything. I did went to the house. Yeah? So we found that there was nothing. And on that day, I mean, when I asked the small boy who was like 11 years old, so I asked him, have you eaten? So he was telling that for almost like 3 days, they were not, you know, they didn't eat. And I did see the kitchen and everything, all was empty. There's nothing. I just saw one packet of Maggie only. So that was like for them to share, yeah, 4 of them.
Oh, dear.
So he was telling me that, sorry, I'm a bit emotional. Okay, so he was telling me that I'm used to be hungry, you know, and I can just drink plain water and I can just sleep. So I sleep most of the time so that I don't feel the hunger. So the mother also was like crying and say that, you know, I wish that I can see like others so that I can provide for food for my children. And most of the time she have to, like, she can actually walk though, even she's blind, and you know, do works actually. So she, every time she have to like go out and buy food or buy the things and to cook for the family. So it was really like, I mean, 10 years old child telling that I'm used to be, you know, hungry and it's okay. And I just sleep with like one plain water or sometimes just biscuit. So that was really, really like, you know, a things that all of us have to see, that we have food on our table and sometimes we do waste food. But people are struggling for that, you know, 1 tablespoon of rice. So people are struggling for that. So what we did was, I told her that we will help her. So immediately I posted on the Facebook, and one of my friend who always help, she bought a, because I was asking for a refrigerator so that she doesn't need to go out every time to walk, you see. So I bought a refrigerator for her and then we give all the food, like, you know, vegetables and everything. So they're able to like survive. So we were helping, and the son also had the same thing. So 17 years old, he have partial, you know, sight. So we supported with the special spec for him. Now he can see. So he was very happy. And on top of that, now we have enrolled her in a business that's Amway. So the younger son, 11 years old, will read the phone and everything and helping the mother. So I'm going to post that soon in my Facebook, that please support her with that. You know, that's the only thing they can do. And I'm requesting people, if they can actually provide anything that she can work from home, you know, packing or something like that, the son can assist. So these are the things that, you know, people has been requesting. A lot of stories I would share, but this is like the one that really, really touched us a lot. And yeah, so the request is still high. I would say that, you know, Dashran, it's really, really high. But the thing is, we don't pick and choose what we want, because it's the hungry tummy, you know, asking for food. So how can we say that, oh, we can help this person or we can't help that person? So what we do is, actually our modus operandi is that we have a community leader in each area, or be more specific, in each blocks, you know, in PPR, low cost flats, even in estates, we have a person, focal person. So we call them as a community leader. So we have a database that, you know, we meet up together, like all the community leader with our Hope Selangor members. We meet up like at least, you know, quarterly to discuss or if there's urgent request, we meet up monthly. Of course, meet up means what I'm telling is virtual meetings, yeah, in Zoom. So in that meeting, we will discuss and how to help and how to focus. So we have this hierarchy analyst, and we see, you know, which is prioritized and what kind of needs they need and how can we sustain, you know, or we encourage sustainability or livelihood, you know, for them to survive. Yeah.
Prema, one thing that stood out to me about your approach, HOPE's approach, is how you emphasize the need to empower the B40 community. So it's more than just a charity service. You feel that, you know, the B40 communities need to be empowered. For example, in one of your posts, you also talk about how members of the B40 community were cooking and distributing food to other members of the community. Can you talk about the need to empower all the marginalized communities? And also, when it comes to this particular post on your Facebook where, you know, B40 communities were cooking and distributing food for others, how did that work?
Yeah, so I think I've mentioned this also just now that empowering them is very important. I believe that, you know, of always we say, right, rather than give them fish, you teach them how to fish. So on that note, like, you know, recently during this pandemic, what we did was we were like, you know, encouraging the B40 to come forward. And most of them, they have experience of cooking and all these kind of things and, you know, baking. So what we did was we will speak to the donors. We will speak to the donors. We will say that because sometimes donors outsource to like restaurants or who already have like income, you know.
Right.
Yeah. So we will tell them, we will suggest that why not a gift to this B40 community, you know. So at the same time, like, you know, so at the same time, you are also helping them and empowering them. You're feeding the B40 community, and at the same time, you're also helping the needy, right? So it's like, you know, two in one la. So when we explain to them, they will think, oh yeah, you know, so they will just pay to the B40 community directly, and then they will provide the food. Of course, as you can see in our Facebook, it's very transparent. We will take the photo of the photos and to ensure, you know, to establish this trust also. Then we will distribute and share the photos to the donors. So that's very much important. For me, I think the sustainability is very, very important because we prefer to give them opportunity. It's just that like B40, most of them wanted to do something, but they don't know how and where to go. So we provide space for them. And we are also in a group or working with other partners where, you know, there are programs under the HRDF. Yeah. So for instance, makeup classes, baking classes, cooking classes, you know, things like that, where they can work from home and earn. So on the same thing, like, you know, when you give the B40 space to do charity, they'll be like, you know, they'll be like, they feel very happy to do that. And at the same time, they also take part of, you know, helping the others. On that note, I would say that we have actually also empowered a lot of young kids. If you see our Facebook, as young as 3 years, 4 years old, who came forward to cook themselves, you know, the food, and with the guidance, of course, with the guidance of parents. And that's why you can see there's you know, post where it's like kids, from kids to kids. So they cook the food and they feed the poor people or the needy. So it's like educating them when they're still young, you know. So it will be like, you know, a meaningful thing. And during the school, you know, no school time, they have no activities. So we created that opportunity for young kids, and it's a bonding with the family and the children. And at the end, you know, they are providing that for the people who are in need. So it's kind of a satisfaction for them, and also building the generation, you know, I mean, while they're still young. So I think that kind of empowerment, we give priority in HOPE Selangor. So basically, we are moving forward, you know, to provide like sustainability and livelihood program. We are planning for that, but we don't know how to go about it for community, because as we all are aware, like cases it's look like that, and it could be like endemic, you know, it's not going to end. And so how long we can help? So we can hold our hands together with them to walk in this journey, but maybe in future, for future, you know, for sustainability, we are planning to do something. Yeah.
All right. And I think that's absolutely fantastic, Prema. And how can people, because, you know, I'm guessing, like you mentioned earlier, every day is a busy day these days. So how can people support and contribute to HOPE?
Oh, yeah. I mean, definitely we encourage people to come forward to contribute. I know all of us are doing something somewhere on our own capacity, but the needs are still there. Of course, people have started working, but bear in mind, some of them have lost job and still struggling with children, you know, things like that. So I think we encourage people to come forward to help the needy people. First of all, do visit our Facebook, Hope Selangor. Just glance through, go through it and how we are doing. We're very transparent what we are doing, things like that, and get some ideas how you can. And we also would like to, you know, create a space for people to help others, because some people, they want help. Like I've seen like university students who came forward, like a Methodist College student who came forward, they wanted to help, but we say that due to the pandemic, you know, we are taking risk, so we don't want to risk others. So we said you can do you know, other things. What they did was they did a fundraising for a laptops for remember I say that we are giving a free tuition. So they came forward, you know, it's a small amount, but it's okay. I mean, we could able to buy a small laptop, so they came forward to raise fund, you know, with among their university colleagues, students. So things was like that. So I think on your own capacity, you can do a lot of things. Yeah. Maybe you can encourage, like, why you are catering from others. Maybe you can just help this B40 cater from them. And yeah, so a lot of things. Or you can on your own raise fund to help, you know, B40 community with the groceries, because that are also things that we need at the moment. People are in need. Yeah. CapEx that they are much needed. So they can do a lot of things and help us. Or even a simple thing, what they can do is just share on Facebook, you know, share. We also have YouTube, so they can just share and among the people. Or if you know, like, any CSR program, you can refer that to us. That would be really, really helpful.
As we wrap this conversation up, would you have a final message for us?
Oh, okay. I think please come together with us or be with us in any way that you could. Yeah, in any way that you could. That would be really helpful. You know, the kids who actually cook the food, in each lunch packet, they actually wrote a message, a lovely message for other kids, like, don't give up, you know, go ahead or something. So that small action actually can make a big, you know, impact in other people's life. So what I would suggest to people or public, that there are a lot of people in need. So let's join together and help them in a way that we could. Yeah, thank you.
On that note, thank you so much for joining me today, Prema.
Thank you, Deshwin. Thank you, BFM, for inviting me. Thank you so much.
You're most welcome. That was Prema Arasan, co-founder of Hope Selangor, talking to me about the struggles faced by communities living in estates throughout the pandemic, as well as other marginalized communities, and what Hope is doing to help them. If you missed any part of our conversation, you can check out the podcast on the BFM app, bfm.my, or pretty much wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Darshan Johan, and this has been Live and Learn, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.